Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
It's National Hospice and Palliative Care Month. Who needs hospice and palliative care? How does it work? Let's go in depth with Mary Jo McClain and Jeff Flagg with HCI Care Services, Knoxville. Mary Jo, November is National Hospice and Palliative Care Month.
Yes, it is.
What's palliative care?
Palliative care is basically just taking care of somebody to make sure that they don't have a lot of pain, that they're just getting their needs met. It's almost like hospice care, but it's not saying that they're at the end of life, but they're wanting the same kind of goals as hospice care. They're wanting comfort care. They're wanting to make sure that they're comfortable and that they don't have a lot of pain and that they have control over what kind of care they're receiving. They don't want a lot of aggressive treatments.
So I might just be sick or have a disease that makes me stay at home a lot or in bed or okay, and I need some help.
Yes, and you need some help. That you don't want to be hospitalized, but you need help in your home, and you need some people just to check up on your medical condition to make sure that it's being managed.
And hospice is the same kind of thing, only at the end of life.
Yes, that is correct.
And what do you do? What's your position at HCI Care Services?
I am a social worker with hospice care. And so I go into the homes and I provide emotional support. I help people if they need to find resources in the community. I connect them back to their community. Lots of times people, when they get sick, they withdraw into themselves and go into their homes, and they're protecting themselves instead of reaching back out. And my job really is to help them live again, to reach back out to those resources that they had before. They had friends, they had connections in the community that had been kind of broken, and my job is to help them get reconnected in whatever way that they're wanting to be reconnected.
And so from dawn to dusk, you're helping people.
Well, if I'm on call, yep, I'm helping from dawn to dusk. Hospice care is a 24/7. They have somebody on call. It might not necessarily be me, but somebody in the team is making sure that people are having the connections and the things that they're needing.
And Jeff, what do you do with HCI Care Services?
I'm a spiritual counselor for HCI Care Services, and it's just about taking care of the spiritual needs of the people we serve. It's about connecting them or making connections with the churches they belong to. And if they don't have a church, which is about 75% of our patients we serve, it's providing spiritual services for those.
So somebody that's sick, somebody that's dying, a whole lot of them need physical care, but then they also need the mental and spiritual.
Right. It's about helping them work through the disease process with their spiritual understandings of where they're grounded and rooted and making sense of things. And it's about helping them to make the most out of each and every day, and with the families, creating new memories and being thankful for the time that we have together.
Now, is it easy to transition across the many different kinds of spiritualities that people have? I mean, do you have to tread very carefully?
Well, that's a real good question, because it is pretty complex from wherever they're rooted. Sometimes it's just whatever grandma taught them growing up and making sense of their life, and it can be complex, but it can be pretty joyful of just being thankful for time shared and understanding the life process.
How many patients does HCI Care Services help?
Oh, that's a tough question, because the census changes on a daily basis, because we do deal with people who are dying. And each area has a different census going. But I believe that the census, that their goal is around 260 patients for HCI Care Services throughout our seven different offices at any given time. And so on a daily census.
Well, and as a service, it sounds very expensive, very intensive, a lot of people helping. But there are ways to get it paid for, right?
Yes, many people are on Medicare, and it is a benefit through their Medicare benefit, and many other people who come to us have another form of insurance. So it is a program that's covered through their medical insurance because it is a medical program model. And also, if they don't have money, HCI Care Services has a foundation that people have left donations and they have solicited funds, and they use that so that nobody gets turned away, that it's a not-for-profit organization, and we serve everybody who comes to us that needs care.
Well, and anybody can make a referral too, and then and the social worker can help them explore what their choices may be. And there are really lots of things out there that normally we don't know and understand as people, but there's a lot of services provided.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about National Hospice and Palliative Care Month with Mary Jo McLean and Jeff Flagg with HCI Care Services.
Do people always know when they should get help? I mean, we're Iowans. We like to be, on our own or rely on our families. We don't like to ask for help. Is that right?
That is correct. Most people don't know when they can get help. They don't realize that the hospice benefit is a 6 months benefit, and that means that's just a general guideline. Doesn't mean that they can't have it longer than that. Most people are coming to us in the last 3 months where our average was people only with us for 16 days. And that's really sad because they're not getting the benefit. And it's not just for them getting the benefit. It's for their whole family. Because when somebody is dying, it's kind of like I tell people, it's kind of when you prepare for a death, people should prepare for a birth. They should also prepare for a death. And so people don't have a chance to say their goodbyes and have their closure and do everything if they don't acknowledge that somebody's sick and somebody is in the decline. And so that's one of the jobs that I have, is just to really help people to say their goodbyes and to celebrate the life that they had, so they have that closure with their family and that the family can start their grieving process and have their supports in place, that they know where to go if they're having trouble accepting the grief and loss of a loved one.
On average, those that come into hospice when they're, as soon as they're eligible nationwide, on average, will tend to live 29 days longer on average, which I think is a very important thing. Lots of times what we hear is we wished we'd have called and got HCI hospice services sooner because of the care and to help people live life the best, of the time they have.
And lots of times people just don't understand what hospice is. I mean, my mom tells this to me all the time. Your signs aren't very good because they don't explain what it is. It just says your name. And how does that explain anything? And when my father was on hospice care, she got to understand what it was and how they provided a support to her, that it gave her an extra group of people to talk to. Because sometimes as a caregiver, you don't want to burden your children. You don't want to burden other people to talk about how you're feeling all the time. You want to be normal. We're Iowans. We don't want people to feel sorry for us, but this gave them a group of people that she could talk to that understood where she was at, that it was a normal conversation, that they weren't uncomfortable talking about, what am I going to do when this person dies? What are the steps I have to take? Do I have to call the insurance companies? Because there's lots of questions that people don't know because they've never went through it before, and just having somebody who makes it normal, that isn't something scary to talk about, and to say, I don't know what to do, I really need some help. And so she says, your signs don't tell you what hospice is, that people don't realize it's a great benefit to have just for the support alone, for the caregivers and for the family.
I like to think this is not about dying, this is about living the best we can each day. And caring for people.
Well, I have a confession here. When my mom needed hospice care, we waited way too long. Mm-hmm. We waited way too long, and it was too hard on my dad. Mm-hmm. And we really should have come in sooner. And I guess we didn't because we thought we could handle it. But we were wrong. Mm-hmm. And so that's common. We aren't the only ones that made that mistake.
No, you're not. And what I tell people is, it's not that you couldn't handle it. You could handle it, and you did. But it's that we'd like to walk that journey with you so that when you looked back, you were able to look at those quality of life and the good things and not say, oh my gosh, I wish I would have done things differently, that we're able to help you have that support so that you could enjoy the funny things that happen. Because when you're really tired and you're just stressed out, you really can't enjoy the things that you want to enjoy. And again, since my first started my career in child development, I say it's like when you first have a baby, you don't really enjoy that baby if you don't have a lot of support. Because you have to change your sleep time, you have to change your eat time, your whole life is revolving around that baby. Well, at the end of life, really, the caregiver and the family, their whole life is revolving around this one individual. And if they don't have the support, they can't enjoy all the fun things that they can do with that person because they're so busy just with the care. And that's the whole thing that gets the focus.
I think with the care services we offer, it does help sons and daughters and spouses to have that quality time and not just be the caretaker, which is a very tough thing to be sometimes.
And it lets people who live out of state have somebody to call to say, I'm really worried about mom, and she told me that her social worker, her spiritual care counselor, can you tell me how she's doing? And we can say, if we have permission from the family, we can tell you. And it gives the family so they feel like they have a way to help at the same time, that they're not disconnected from the process. So it's just a lot of support that people don't realize, not besides the nurses going in and checking and keeping in contact with the doctors and the aides going in and volunteers go in and talk with them. It's a whole team, as you said. It's a whole group that's helping, and they can have as little or as much of it as they want. They have total control over how many people come in and out of their home. But if you don't go into hospice, you don't have those care people there to pull in if you want them.
Well, I'm fortunate as a spiritual counselor because I get to call families and say, you know, what would your mom's favorite hymn be, or all these things, and to sing songs and just have a chance to go back to a better place and old memories of their religious understanding. And there really is a lot of joy to share.
Yeah, that's the same with me. I get to really know, because we do what we call life review, just to celebrate that person's life. I really get to hear a lot of people's stories and hear who they were and just validate that they had a wonderful life, regardless if they're in dementia, if they're a dementia patient or a person who's fully alert and oriented, just to celebrate that this person had a value, they had a spot in life, and that we honor that and that we cherish that they were the person that they were. And we just help families do that, to say, yep, your parent was a wonderful parent, or if they weren't so wonderful, here's some things that you celebrated with them too. But everybody has something to celebrate, to acknowledge somebody had value.
Tell me about your children or your grandchildren or what you did in the war or what your careers and hobbies have been. It's all joyous time to share.
And especially if you have some help. I mean, if you're the main caregiver and you're having to do all of the work associated with it, it's such a burden. I can't tell you how much that burden lifted when hospice became involved. I mean, unless you've been, you know, you all know that. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, but a lot of our listening audience might not think about when that burden is lifted, how it will allow you to appreciate that person more.
I tell people it's kind of like if you are working and, yeah, you're making it, you're doing fine, but when you have somebody gave you extra money to put in the bank that you don't have to use, but it's there in case you need it for an emergency, just knowing that that's there makes life so much easier. You don't stress as much because you're like, oh, well, if things don't go right, I have some help. Well, that's the same with hospice care. We're kind of the same concept, that we're the extra money in the bank. If you need us, we're there. And just knowing you have help half the time is 9/10 of the battle, because you're no longer doing this all by yourself. You have others you can call upon.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about National Hospice and Palliative Care Month with Mary Jo McLean and Jeff Flagg with HCI Care Services.
Being a caretaker is really pretty tough, and to have somebody come in like one of the nurse's aides to do the bathing and give you a break so you can actually sit down and have a cup of coffee and maybe look at the bird feeder, you know, it doesn't seem like much, but when you're doing all the care every day, it really is a big deal to have somebody help you.
having a nurse on call 24/7, mm-hmm. yeah. that if something changes, the breathing pattern changes, the person is having anxiety attacks that they didn't have before, you have just a phone call away from somebody to say, hey, I don't know what to do. Can you come over? Can you walk me through what I need to do to help clean this wound that's there? It's just a lot of support that no longer are you tackling the world alone. You have people there who care that are helping you also. And you get to really know your team. It's not a bunch of strangers coming in randomly. You get to know the core team that's going to always come into your home.
And make new friends. Now, and I suspect in some ways, Jeff, you're sort of a backup spiritual counselor in the sense that people might already have their own pastor or priest or whoever. But those folks have big congregations, and they are drawn in many, many places, and that you can step in, I suspect. Does that happen?
Yeah, that's very true. And we stay in contact with their pastors to see how we can just help give some extra spiritual support. You know, maybe the pastor goes once a month, and then maybe I'll fill in some of the off times to just spend time with that patient to talk and about the process of the disease in relationship to their religious views and understandings.
And so if people want to learn more about HCI Care Services, hospice, and palliative care, how can they find out more?
Well, if they're on the computer, they can always Google it and they can get information. But we also have a local office in Knoxville that they can just come right down here or call the office to get information. There's a variety of people who have hospice care. They can also just stop people who they know who have it and ask them about hospice care. Most people are on the computer, and if they just we have a Facebook, we have Twitter page, and we're pretty much out there on the web so people can find us. But again, if they just call, look in the local telephone book here in town in Knoxville, they can give us a call and we'll be happy to go out and explain hospice care. I think that's the biggest important thing is anybody can make a referral to hospice care. It doesn't have to be a doctor. If you feel that the overall condition of your loved one is declining, and you're always thinking, this might be the last Christmas, this might be the last holiday, then I think that's the time to really start thinking, should I have my loved one evaluate to see if they qualify for hospice services? And if they don't, then we have home care services through VNS. There's a nursing service, and they can also come in and do very similar things, and sometimes the insurances will pay for that also. So just to have support if somebody's just needing it because of medical reasons.
Well, and for groups and organizations, we're happy to come in and do a program, too, just to help people understand what's available and what it might look like for their own personal situations.
And there are ways for people to help, too, that might not have somebody that needs hospice or home health care, right?
Yes, we have a local foundation, and sometimes people want to be able to contribute. A lot of times when people have had hospice care, they're wanting to be able to give something back. They might not want to be a volunteer to come work for the organization, but they want to give something monetarily, and they want it to go directly to people that are in hospice care, and we do have a foundation that will do that. They have a new thing that some people have been doing that they're working on. It's called Grains for Hospice, and some local farmers have worked things out where when they go to harvest their grain, and when they go and give it, they just say that they want this many bushels to go toward HCI Care Services, and then the check just comes straight here, and they're able to put that in our endowment fund. And so there's lots of different ways that the foundation is able to help people contribute if they're not able just to write out a check to them. There's different things that they can do to contribute to.
What I like about the foundation is when finances are really tight or tough on people, we can do special things and make dreams come true, whether it's flying someone in or providing some kind of service they may not have been able to have on their own. The foundation really is a blessing to many people.
And they do practical things for us. Lots of people have a really hard time hearing, and we buy pocket talkers in that way. It's really like an amplifier for them, and so that way we can have a conversation without yelling at our patient, and the families can use it, and they can reverse it if they can't hear their loved one because they're so weak that they're talking so soft. They can put it on and put it there so then the patient's voice is amplified and they can continue having conversations with them.
One of the things that I like about just dropping by the Knoxville office is all the positive energy. You folks enjoy what you're doing, don't you?
I can't think of a better job to have than to help being able to, well, actually to work and have a job helping people. How much better could it get?
Yeah, and we do. We enjoy our work, and we use a lot of humor. I mean, when Jeff said earlier that we don't really look at it as death and dying, we look at it as helping people live their life to the fullest, all the way to the end. And we enjoy doing that, and we do it with a lot of fun and a lot of enthusiasm.
Thanks to Mary Jo McLean and Jeff Flagg for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.